I'm sitting now at the Namal in Tel Aviv, a city filled with memories of Lauren. It feels like only yesterday, or was it a lifetime ago, that she met me here, at this very spot, each of us on our bikes, me coming from the north, her from the south, before we headed to the beach to waste away an afternoon by the sea. She had convinced me to buy the bike. She was always talking me into or out of things. I have so many memories like these. This country is a memory of Lauren. Now, storytelling is not my strength, so I'll do my best and just tell the story of how we met instead. And I'll try to stop crying. Sorry, this is Carmi Arbit. I met Lauren in the fall of 2004. It would have been 11 years this month. We met on the first day of orientation at Tel Aviv University, and we hit it off right away. I'd been studying abroad in Cyprus and had made a game time decision to move to Israel. Lauren was already living here, dating Boaz, a handsome student activist with a cubic zirconium stud in his ear. She was all of 19 at the time. Beautiful, blonde, vibrant, earnest. The antithesis of the Jewish American princess you would expect to find in Israel. And I was immediately drawn to her. Everyone was. Lauren had that energy that lures people in. She really was effervescent. People loved being around her. So we spent the whole day hanging out, ignoring the orientation and the professors and the administrators and all the potentially useful details introducing us to the university in Tel Aviv. We hung around the back instead and gossiped about our summers and made snarky comments about the rest of the group. We were both just way too cool for school. Literally, I later dropped out and Lauren stuck it out, though barely. At the end of the day, we exchanged details. This was the days before Facebook. And we parted with an awkward, see ya. The university had assigned us dorms automatically. And though we both had no intention of living in them, we each went to see what the terrible campus rooms looked like. I climbed the stairs of this disgusting, decrepit cement building to the assigned room, and who did I see standing in the kitchen? Lauren. Completely by chance, they'd assigned us to room together. She'd found maggots in the defrosted freezer. I will never forget the expression of horror on her face. Anyway, it was fate. We agreed on the spot that we would find an apartment together and live in downtown Tel Aviv. And so we did. We rented this oddly shaped, partially furnished, three-bedroom apartment on the main drag of Evan Firol above an Asian restaurant called Giraffe and just down the street from Kikar Rabin. The third room was taken by a religious girl from New York who had only recently found God, and needless to say, we had very different lifestyles from her. Lauren and I happily let Boaz negotiate the contract, and then we set about finding the remainder of the furniture. I remember we were at a coffee shop down the street with these hideous, ridiculous, bright orange patio chairs. To this day, I don't know how she convinced them, but we left the coffee shop with six chairs. I remember her walking in front of me. She was tiny at the time, with the chair hoisted over her head, going up and down the street to bring them home. People were always giving things to Lauren. They offered it or she asked. I don't think she ever heard the word no. Lauren would prove to be the best roommate. She rarely slept at home. I'd only known she'd come because the place was impossibly clean and the refrigerator would be like scrubbed and alphabetized. She would mop the floors religiously. Her free spirit never got in the way of her obsession with clean. And though she was rarely home, we would meet up at night for drinks on the town. We'd have these long, drawn-out conversations. Lauren always asked a million questions. She was unrelenting. Why? She had this insatiable curiosity, and she loved to draw people out. She was an instigator. We would sit at the beach or at this dive bar called Lewinsky. I remember drinking there with Boaz and debating the fate of peace until the wee hours of the night. And even when she wasn't up on the latest political happenings, she would ask millions of questions, inciting debate and then playing peacemaker. She had these expressions, this valley girl in Israel way of talking. Oh my God, Carmi. It's funny, a year ago I could still hear that voice, her intonations. I can't hear them as clearly anymore. We had so many adventures that year. We would waste nights meeting boys, or really me fruitlessly chasing boys and Lauren peeling them off her. She was such a manslayer. Late nights of drinking and talking into the wee hours of the night about home and travel. It was such a defining time in our lives, one of great change and self-discovery. We would analyze ourselves and each other, our families, her legacy of ice cream and religion, our college experiences, our surroundings, our ever-evolving sense of self. We were so young that yet the moment was somehow so transformative. Lauren was bold and her friendship was empowering. In the nearly 10 years that followed, Israel became about Lauren for me. We both crisscrossed back into the country, a place she loved and hated, that was never quite home, and yet she was never home without it, torn between these two lives. She lived here when it made sense, and she left when it didn't. Lauren never did anything she didn't want to do. She lived life on her terms and always pushed me to do the same. I was the opposite. I always felt so burdened by shoulds and what-ifs. You don't want to go, she would tell me, then don't go. You don't like your job, quit. I can't count the number of conversations we had that went exactly like this. She never seemed to be encumbered by consequences, real or imagined. Lauren was fearless, and she was present. She always pushed me and everyone around her to be the same. She was an amazing friend, and she is dearly missed.